Amen. I hope your desire is to follow your Savior today, because that's what we're going to be talking about as we finish up in the next couple messages next week. If everything goes well, Lord willing, Sunday morning will be our last message in the Sermon on the Mount. And then as a side note, as I've been praying about what to do next, I believe the Lord has led me to do a study in the book of Ephesians. And so looking forward to introducing that in the near future as well, going through Paul's history with the city of Ephesus in the book of Acts, and then getting into the book itself. I'm not sure what will replace the second study yet. I've got a couple options, still praying about those, but looking forward to this study in the book of Ephesians coming up. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. Jesus, as he finishes up, has some very sobering reminders, warnings, and choices for us. And we're going to be looking at some of those this morning, tonight, and next week. Today, Jesus is going to ask us, very simply, to choose your path. Choose what path you're going to take. We talked about following Jesus, and I hope that that's your commitment today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17 and only two verses, 13 and 14. This morning we'll look at a few other passages of Scripture. It was common in Jewish culture and tradition to offer up a saying that would offer one of two choices, a kind of dualistic choice that was typical of Jewish admonishment, of wise proverbs. We see this in the book of Proverbs. Many often there's two choices that one can make, and you need to choose the right one. I thought of a more modern version of this that we all, I think everybody here knows pretty well, from our friend Ken Collier from the Wilds. He came up with this a number of years ago, and it's a well-known quote: only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. I think we're well aware of that. He points out, making it simplistic, one choice or the other. And at all times, we choose either one or the other. Well, even more so today, Jesus is going to indicate two paths to choose from, very sobering and so important, obviously, that we make the right choice. And he indicates in this choice which path to choose. And this is so sobering, even as we get into this, and we know this passage well. Again, like so many other passages in the Sermon on the Mount, we could quote this almost in our sleep, right? And yet, we shouldn't play games with what Jesus is saying here, or in any way make light, because he is referring to the most important choice that we can make. See, as we go through this, let's let the Lord Jesus speak to our hearts this morning. Verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it. Lord, let us really be impacted again by this simple truth, these simple verses, and yet so important, the most important choice that we can make that Jesus gives before us here. Father, my understanding in talking with these dear people here this morning is that all have made the right choice that Jesus is referring to here. But Lord, if there is one who still has decided to go the path of ease, let them be reminded today it's the wrong path. And let us choose the path that Jesus is calling us to. And as well, Father, help us to point the way to the right path, the only path for eternal life, to others, so that they may not end up heading toward lives that end in destruction. Let us be sobered by this and inspired by this, to be an example of Jesus Christ. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Enter here at the narrow gate, Jesus says. the straight gate in the King James. That is just as well translated the narrow gate. And then he continues on about the other gate, and we'll get to that in a minute. There's a more broader application here that we'll look at, and then a more narrow, the central focus that Jesus wants us to get. And we'll see that as well. But entering in at the narrow gate, the gate that's not as easy, that's sacrificial, that will cost you something. In a general sense, we understand that principle, and the world does understand that principle to a certain extent. You know, just plain and simple, the popular way does not always equal the right way. And in our society today, many times the popular way is the way that you want to avoid because it's not the right way. Even though our world may point to that and say, this is the right way and you better follow that, there's a better way, the right way. But the popular way is often the easier way. And even in our culture today, there is this understanding among those that are disciplined that if you're willing to accept the challenges of life in general, the hardships, the desire to do something better with yourself, that there's going to be sacrifice involved and that road is going to be less traveled. Those that want to be disciplined, whether it's in grades, in school, or fitness. And maybe we have those that have made some decisions at the beginning of the year and you're finding out how difficult it is to stay fit. I would be one of those as well, praying the Lord help me to do better and as far as fitness and eating and things. That takes some sacrifice. You have to give up some things. Friendships. Good friendships take work. They don't come easy. Being a good friend doesn't come easy. It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. Moral living, just in general, even in our culture today, trying to live in a moral way is very difficult. And it's not going to be the easy way for any of these things. It should not be surprising then, with this in mind, that Jesus also points to this fact, that our spiritual journey after conversion, after trusting in Jesus Christ and putting our faith in Him and becoming a child of God, that after all of that, that God doesn't intend for the rest of our lives as Christians to be flowery beds of ease. We just kind of coast along and have a happy life, and then Jesus comes back and praise the Lord, we're all together. Now, we do praise the Lord and we do seek Jesus, please return. But Jesus is reminding us here, just like Paul does, in his letters. Peter does this too. The Christian life is one of difficulty and challenge, of sacrifice. You know, you have all these shows, or you used to, they're not as popular anymore, about people that are trying to lose weight, become more fit, and they have to go through a lot of strenuous effort and very difficult things. And of course, that also makes for better TV, the more difficult things that they have to go through. But it is a reminder in a general sense, again, that our world can understand that if you want to accomplish something in your life, you can't go the easy way. Well, Jesus is pointing this out. It's not so much that he's pointing to a narrow gate as that we're supposed to notice the size of the room in between the two posts as we go through the gate, as opposed to the length of the wide way, going through the other gate and choosing that path, but more along the lines of, and that picture is kind of there, but it's more the difficulty of the road, not just the gate. But Jesus is pointing here, this narrow way is a way less traveled, and it is going to involve some sacrifice, and it's going to involve some difficulty. That's why it's not as popular. The popular way, we know this, is not always the easier way. But even more so, interestingly, the popular way, especially in our society today, may deceptively seem like it's the better way. And in this crazy mixed-up world where right is called wrong and wrong is referred to as right, it is harder and harder many times to find what is the right way. And really, we can't do it on our own. We have to follow God's word and measure everything up with God's word. As believers, if we're going to try to travel this world and try to figure out on our own what's right and wrong, the world's going to be very deceptive. And the popular way will be, this is the world's set of standards, and if you do this, then you're doing right. And many times what the world calls you to do that is right is in total opposite to what God has called us to do. In all kinds of moral issues. Too many to list this morning. I think you know what I'm talking about, though. Even all we do as believers many times is just is proclaim God's word and proclaim his moral standard, and the world will say, throw all kinds of names at us. You're racist. You're a bigot. You're all of these things. You're narrow-minded. And they'll call us. They'll say that we're the ones that are doing wrong. The popular way, deceptively, may seem the better way. It may seem the right way. But we have to narrow ourselves. We have to follow God's word and follow what his word says is the right way. Twisting what's right and wrong. And that can be hard many times. Many in Christianity today, many Christians have kind of lost their discernment about what is right and wrong. And that's easy to do. And to follow after what God says is right, you have to follow the road less traveled, the more difficult road. To be faithful to God's word and to his teachings, that's not going to be an easy thing. Jesus is giving us this principle to remind us again that sacrifice is involved. Again, I'm repeating this, but the world may say, this is what right is. And we have to look at God's standard in his word. And God says, no, this is what right is. And you follow after this. Regardless of the names you're called, regardless even of your testimony, you have a testimony, even though it's hard sometimes, that you follow God's word. Our righteousness, and we know this, this is repetition for us. But we're not trying to shape and mold our righteousness into what the world says is right, but according to what Jesus says, what he says is right. We want Jesus' righteousness, and certainly we need his righteousness to be saved, to be one of his children. It's not our own righteousness. It's through Jesus' righteousness. But also to follow his righteousness and to follow his way, that takes sacrifice. We need his help for that. Again, a good reminder. We need Jesus for salvation, for conversion. We need his sacrifice, our faith in him. He does the work. We put our faith in him. We need Jesus for that, yes, and we would all say a hearty amen to that, but we also need Jesus to live rightly in this world today because it is so hard. And there is so much persecution. We need his help, and he offers that, and we're going to see that as well here as we continue. So enter in at the narrow gate, the sacrificial, the hard, the gate that starts for the hard way. Why? For wide is the gate, and broad or easy is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there be many that go therein. The popular way does not always equal what is the right way. The right way is also going to be the sacrificial way because it is hard. And that's why people choose the broad way, the easy way. The wide road, the broad way, is more accommodating. The world says, bring it all. Bring all your carry-ons. Bring everything with you. You know, when you get onto a flight, and you're only allowed a certain number of packages or on-flight bags and things, and you have to pay for the others, and you have to really streamline on a trip. Some of you have been through this recently, going on trips. You have to streamline what you're going to carry. And wouldn't it be nice to have an airline that just says, bring it all, we'll take it all? Well, that would actually be really inconvenient for everybody in the long term, trying to fit everything on that plane. But really, in reality, the wide road, the way of the world says, bring everything. all of your ideas, all of your worldviews and philosophies. Bring them along. Bring them with you. You won't be judged. The only way you'll be judged is if you try to restrict somebody from bringing anything on this road. So bring it all with you. It's all good, and we're all going to, and we're gonna travel a path together that's easy, that's light, that is comfortable. That may sound enticing, but Jesus reminds us what the end of that road is, doesn't he? That end of that road leads to what? Destruction. What is that destruction? And this is the sobering reality of following that way, is that it leads to eternal destruction. For eternity in hell and torment. And Jesus actually talks about this so many times, the hell and what it's like, because, and he uses, and many, a good percentage, a large percentage, not all of it, but Jesus talks about hell and the punishment and eternal punishment a lot in his teachings. Why would he do that? We don't like to focus on that. We don't always like to hear preaching and teaching that focuses on eternal punishment and how horrible it's going to be and the effects of it. But Jesus emphasized it because he was warning people not to go there. Don't travel that road. It may seem easy, but the end is a place you don't want to end up ever. So don't be looking for a life of ease and everybody getting along and without any sacrifice. Now, Christians do get along. Don't misunderstand me. And there's that bond of love. And the Christians, by the way, have a bond of love that surpasses all stereotypes in all races. And Jesus' love is the bond that really unites us all together. So we can experience a unity and lack of judgment and criticalness that the rest of the world can't experience because we have the bond of Jesus' love bringing us all together on that narrow road. That's something the world misses. But they call us to that easy road, and it's hard. I mean, in the end, it will be harder on a person if they choose that way. The narrow road, again, it's challenging. It requires you to leave some things behind. You can't take it all with you. And Jesus requires us, if you're going to go down this road, you can't take all of your worldviews and your false philosophies and your false gods. You have to leave them behind and follow me and follow me alone. And we need to do that. He calls us to that. If you are a child of God here today, guess what? You've already chosen that path. You've already chosen that road. So this shouldn't be a surprise, right? Sometimes Christians still get surprised at how challenging life can be. Well, Jesus said at the very beginning, if you're going to choose this road, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be the easy way. It's going to be some sacrifice involved. But it is the better way. So it shouldn't surprise us as believers when the way gets hard sometimes. The narrow road is less popular because it's hard. It's sacrificial. But another important thing here, as we look at verse 14, and just read verse 14 again, but narrow, because narrow is the gate, and narrow or hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's hard, but it leads to eternal life. In other words, the journey, as sacrificial and as hard as it is worth it. It is worth it to follow this path. It's worth it to follow after Jesus Christ. Jesus told us this in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by or except through me. The narrow road, Jesus is pointing out here, is the only right choice because it leads us to God through Jesus Christ. It's the only right choice. So don't be tempted that there are two pretty good ways. And yeah, if I want to be more disciplined, I'll follow the way of Jesus, but the other one isn't so bad. No, Jesus is pointing to the only way that is his way, because he's the truth and the life. And as we're talking to people and being a testimony to people, this needs to be made clear to them, that they need Jesus and they need to put their faith and trust in him because he is the way, but that they shouldn't expect the way to always be easy. And if we present to people that after trusting in Jesus that they're just going to have a happy life full of comfort and joy and never any troubles, we are not presenting the gospel and we're not presenting the truths that Jesus is presenting here that we need to know. It's going to be sacrificial, but you're going to be joyful. You're not going to regret choosing this road, the difficult road, because in the end, we receive eternal life. We understand the principle of hard things paying off for us in the end, like I mentioned earlier. But really, in this road, there's something that we have to understand. We can't overcome the difficulties and the sacrifices on the way that Jesus is calling us to. We can't overcome those on our own. We need him. We need Jesus. That's why he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to trust in him and his power to forgive us. And Jesus enables us to travel this hard road, to go through that narrow gate. It's through him and his power that we're able to do that. Well, I think we all understand that. I don't think I've told you anything this morning that's surprising. But even as we hear this message, sometimes it can be a little discouraging at times, especially with the time change, and we're already tired, and we're still trying to wake up, and even the pastor looks a little tired this morning. And to hear that the way is going to be hard, and that we're just going to have to do, you know, through God's help, we're going to sacrifice and get to the end. That could still sound a little daunting. There's that old hymn, I'm just a poor, wayfaring stranger, a traveling through this world of woe. There be no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. And we're looking forward to that one day, but oh, the pain and the misery and the torture of this world. Well, don't misunderstand me here. Jesus isn't saying that there aren't any joys or happy times in this life. In fact, following his way is the only way that we can experience true joy. All those people that pick the easy way, they'll never experience the true joy that Jesus has for us and the happiness and the contentment and peace that we know, that we're confident that we have chosen the right way, that we're following after Jesus. That peace and confidence should never be underrated because it drives us further. No, we experience blessings in this life even, going the hard way, that the people on the easy way will never experience. But in the end, what is your description or what is your definition of easy anyway? Is easy being comfortable on a road that leads to eternal destruction? Is that easier? Or is easy being sacrificial and following a way that's hard, but in the end, leads to eternal blessings and eternal joy and eternal relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father? In the end, which is the easier way? One more passage here, Matthew chapter 11. Just turn with me. Jesus may sound sobering, and he is in the Sermon on the Mount. But he has another aspect of this that balances it out. Jesus calls to his disciples. Verse 28 beginning. What encouragement. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto Jesus. Follow his way. It may not seem as easy in a lot of ways as the other way, but you receive rest. You receive peace and true comfort. That would make it worthwhile alone, wouldn't it, to follow him? But then what about the burden and the sacrifice that we have to make? Well, 29, take my yoke upon you. And at this time, a yoke would define that wooden beam, if you've ever seen pictures before, that would go over a set of oxen, and that would allow them to be guided where the farmer needed to guide them. And Jesus says, I have a yoke for you. I have a burden for you to carry, but don't be intimidated. Learn of me, for I am meek, or I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whoever heard of a light burden, a light yoke? That thing's heavy, isn't it, Jesus? Isn't that what you've described already? Jesus says, no, it's easy. I'll be gentle. I'm not a cruel master. I'll take care of you. Follow my way, and your burden will be light. The narrow road, then, the more difficult road, even with that burden that Jesus has us to carry, it's the better experience. Why? Because Jesus says he goes with us. He walks with us. He helps us with that. He doesn't leave us to tarry under our burden. He doesn't leave us to walk that road and all its hardships on our own, but he's our guide. He gives us the power to do that. He enables us, really, to bear that yoke. And so it becomes easy. What seems intimidating, Jesus says, I'll help you through. Jesus' yoke is light because it provides spiritual health, that comfort, that peace, that rest that the whole world wants to experience. And we experience that through Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, even though we may have to go through hard things, the inner peace and spiritual health and rest that we receive from Jesus makes it all worthwhile. Oh, I'll gladly go that road, Jesus, for what you offer and the blessings that you offer. And in the end, it's the most rewarding for what awaits us at the end of a journey. Ever started a hard hike, or journey, or trip, knowing it would be difficult, but realizing the destination is going to be so wonderful that it makes all that you have to endure in the meantime so worthwhile and so worth it? I'll gladly go through that to be able to get to that destination. And Jesus says, yeah. The narrow way, the sacrificial way, it's not easy. But you're going to love the destination. On the other hand, there are going to be those that choose the easy way that can bring everything along with them. And they're going to be solely and soberly disappointed for all eternity because of the destruction that they face. There's a man, a commentator named Doug Webster, and I liked this quote in his book talking about the difficulties of following Jesus' way and putting on his yoke. He says, for those who live under the yoke, there is absolutely no other way to live. Who in their right mind would go back to the gods of self, money, lust, and power? Who would return on bended knee to the worship shrines of pious performance and judgmentalism? Is not love better than hate? Purity better than lust? Reconciliation better than retaliation? And is not better than really easier when measured in character rather than convenience? Rest for the soul rather than selfish pride? You see, when you look at it that way, we know and we should be enthusiastic, ready to follow the way that Jesus calls us to go. There is a poem written by a guy that grew up, I understand, in New England, and he's pretty well known. His name is Robert Frost. And this poem I thought would be appropriate to read with some commentary at the end. I think it's probably the one that maybe is most famous. It's the one that I remember the most. It's called The Road Not Taken. Maybe you can think of a walk in the woods and a hike. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then I took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. There's one thing about that poem. I don't believe Robert Frost was a true believer. He had respect for the Old Testament and for the Jewish system of things and for morality. But it makes it sound like, you know, either path, they'd both be just as nice. But I sure am glad I chose the path that I did. It made all the difference from where I ended up today. And there's truth to that. And it makes for a nice poem. But in the end, please don't misunderstand me. As much as there's some practical application to that, in the fact that the path that we choose will make all the difference for us in our lives. It's not, well, they're both about the same. Pick one, pick the other, and see what happens. Jesus doesn't give us that option. He says, you've got to choose the right way. Choose the narrow path. You don't want the end of the wide path, of the comfortable path. Don't choose that. And Jesus today, in a sober warning, in a warning that we need to tell the world today, don't choose the easy path, but choose Jesus' way. And you'll love the destination. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to truly understand the importance of this again. Help us to reach deeply into our souls and be reminded that our world needs this message and needs the choice presented to them. And Lord, even more so than just two acceptable different ways, our world needs to hear that there is only one way, one truth, and one life, and it's through Jesus Christ. So Lord, first of all, for those that are here, my prayer is that everyone here legitimately and truly have chosen your way, has chosen the narrow, the sacrificial way. Even though we know it's hard, Lord, we look forward to the end. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If there's someone here, Lord, who's still going back and forth and trying to figure out what choice to make, help them today to make that choice. Choose Jesus, the right path. And then help us to be diligent in pointing people to that right path. As Linda plays for us this morning, be thinking about that. If you're struggling still with what path to take, come talk to me. Come talk to one of our leaders. We'd be glad to show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus and choose the right way. Maybe you're also being convicted about our need to point the right way toward a world that's going the wrong way. And may God empower you and strengthen you to make that commitment to point the right way to others as Jesus has done to us. So take a few minutes and meditate on this morning.